You're welcome back. Politics is politics. That was Michael Lowry's assessment of his role in securing the Ceann Comhairle's position for Wexford TD Verona Murphy. Fast forward 3 months and that job is in jeopardy because of a protracted row with Mr Lowry at its heart. Yesterday, the government forced through a rule change which will give new speaking slots to his group of independent TDs and to coalition backbenchers. This followed weeks of tension and countless rowdy set pieces. At leaders' questions a short time ago, Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald said that confidence in Verona Murphy had been decimated and she should reflect on her position. We can hear now a flavour of what's been happening over the past hour.
Ceann Comhairle, not alone have you lost the confidence of the entire opposition, you have in fact decimated it. Yeah. And the Dáil cannot function properly whilst you remain in the chair. Yeah. Above all, the Ceann Comhairle must be impartial, fair and independent. And by your actions, you have demonstrated that you are not. Your position is therefore untenable. So I ask you to reflect very carefully on this because you need to go.
Deputy MacDonald and Sinn Féin, you are not defending any democratic principle. You are promoting a destructive model of opposition, one which tries to import into this chamber the loudhailer politics of the street, which many of you prefer to doing the business of the people and respecting all mandates. We have very serious issues facing this country. Next week, tariffs will be announced on Europe. We do have a housing crisis. We have issues on disability. Yet the number one issue for Sinn Féin, and it's what you always have done, you brought down the Northern Ireland Assembly when it suited you in the party's self-interest on a number of occasions. Your stated objective here is to undermine this institution, to undermine the government, to reduce the government majority and to create mayhem. That is what you are about. And I do not. I think anybody who uses two fingers in this house to another person is wrong. And that person should apologise. And that would apply to Deputy Lowry. I equally think, and you should face up and acknowledge this, that any deputy waving cameras in the face of other deputies is wrong and was never a part and parcel of Leinster House.
Ceann Comhairle, yesterday you deemed the order of business passed, despite resounding calls of dissent from the opposition benches. Without any legitimate democratic basis, you deemed that passed. And you did so as part, apparently, of a pre-arranged set-up orchestrated with government. You have a duty. You have a duty to apply the rules fairly and impartially, understanding orders. And Ceann Comhairle, I deeply regret to say that after what we saw yesterday, I do not believe you applied the rules in that matter. And that's why this morning, together with my parliamentary party, we agreed to ask you to reflect on your position over coming days. And if not, if necessary, we will have no option but to table a motion of confidence in you. And I regret that it has come to this.
You've tied yourselves to the hip of Sinn Féin and you'll regret it. And I know the Labour Party a long time. And I know a lot of ordinary Labour Party supporters are not happy with the way you've now become an appendage to the Sinn Féin Party. But if I could make the point, you've attempted, you used the phrase pre-arranged, parroting the Sinn Féin false assertion. And whatever you say, I don't mind you having a different view. Of course, we're all different views and different perspectives. But you cannot make deliberately false assertions, just generally, without and it is false. That, there is no free.
Please, deputies, please.
But the Ceann Comhairle has a responsibility that the business of the House gets done. And what really the new tactic is, if we shout loud enough, if we stop everybody from talking on the government side, if we create mayhem and chaos, the Ceann Comhairle must then adjourn the Dáil and we get our way.
It's essential that Ceann Comhairle enjoys the confidence of both government and opposition. Clearly, this is no longer the case. And I do think you need to reflect on that position. Taoiseach, yesterday the mask slipped. The enduring image of the day was Michael Lowry giving the two fingers. TD, who's been found to be grossly corrupt, laughing it up as you did his bidding, really sums it all up.
And we heard there from Mary Lou MacDonald, Micheál Martin, Ivana Bacsik and Cian O'Callaghan. For the very latest, we can cross to Leinster House and our political correspondent, Micheál Lahan. Micheál, not as raucous as yesterday, but there was plenty of venom there. What did we learn?
plenty of venom, and I suppose what you have is a major political development when you have it said so clearly by opposition party figures that they no longer have confidence in the Ceann Comhairle, and that does make Verona Murphy's position very vulnerable indeed. Yes, there is firm backing from the government side, and a no confidence motion probably could be fended off, but the damage done would be immense given that main part of the Ceann Comhairle's role, which is to be seen to be impartial when chairing the House. So I think it is a particularly difficult position now that Verona Murphy finds herself in as a result of what unfolded in the Dáil yesterday. There's a strange atmosphere around the corridors here at the moment. I mean, the consensus would be that she will really struggle to survive this particular very clear statement from opposition party leaders.
Looking at some of what was said over the past hour or so, at one point Mary Lou MacDonald accused Verona Murphy of failing to follow the correct procedure yesterday.
That is at the centre of this, and that relates to a few things, I suppose. One is the way in which the proceedings were hastened along by Verona Murphy after the first suspension. The promised questions and promised legislation were cast aside, and then as the vote itself was taking place, there was a substantial amended motion that the combined opposition had put down. That was never taken. That never went to a vote. For all of those reasons, it was seen, and it is claimed by the opposition, that Verona Murphy had sided with the government, some even going further, saying that there were nods and hand gestures between the Ceann Comhairle and the government, something the Taoiseach today has steadfastly denied, saying there was never anything pre-baked or pre-arranged about all of this. But that is the political charge.
Taking the focus away from the Ceann Comhairle for a moment, Micheál, the opposition, in particular the Social Democrats, asking again about the nature of the deal done with Michael Lowry in advance of all of this.
The Social Democrats are keeping the focus on that. Gary Gannon too in particular, and he goes back to a deal done for his constituency in the 1980s, the Gregory deal, which he says was different in that it was published. I suppose other deals along the way weren't published. The Healy Ray Lowry deal of the past between 07 and 11 wasn't published, but details did later emerge about that. There is a view within government, and something being expressed this time, that nothing was written down, so that nothing can ever be found or traced, and that there was no deal done. Really, that is not accepted by the opposition. Government saying that there are priorities, but those priorities would all be in things like the National Development Plan anyway. I think that particular line of attack will continue, but I suppose the most focus really is on the speaking row, and the speaking row is something that still hasn't been resolved. And this is a very curious political controversy, because even if there was a political head, to go back to the Ruaidhrí Quinn term of the early 90s, it still probably wouldn't resolve this particular crisis, because there is another part of it that isn't anywhere near resolution.
Just going back again to one of yesterday's controversies, Micheál, the Taoiseach saying in the chamber this afternoon that Michael Lowry should apologise for giving the two fingers and Paul Murphy should apologise for using the camera on his phone. I think there's been a statement from Michael Lowry.
Yeah, a statement, not quite an apology, but Michael Lowry says he regrets if people took it that he meant offence. What happened was, as he explains it, is that he made an errant gesture under provocation, but he does respect the rules of the House, and that there wasn't any malicious intent. As Paul Murphy, of course, was the one who took that particular recording. That type of recording is something that would traditionally be frowned upon under the rules of the House, but it is something that has, on this occasion, it seems, been let go publicly at least.
Micheál, thank you very much. Micheál Lehane there at Leinster House. We can talk next to Sinn Féin's Chief Whip, Pádraig McLoughlin. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. As we've been hearing there from Micheál, as of now, Verona Murphy remains in the Ceann Comhairle's chair. So what are you and the other opposition parties going to do?
Well, it's been made clear by all of the opposition today that her position's untenable, the way that she facilitated the government's will yesterday in ramming through this motion leaves her untenable. She's lost the confidence of the entire opposition, 75 TDs. So she needs to reflect on that. And we're making it clear that if she doesn't step aside, we'll have to regrettably move a motion of no confidence.
And is there a mechanism there for voting no confidence in her?
Yes, there is. And we will collectively in the opposition move that motion, but hopefully she'll reflect on her position and it doesn't come to that.
But if she stays in place, the government has the numbers to vote confidence in her. So what do you do then?
Well, you know, this is the situation that Micheál Martin and his deal with Michael Lowry has left us in, where in, 100 years of democracy in our Dáil, you would try to suggest that government TDs can pose as opposition, can ask leaders questions, can ask priority questions to ministers. It's an absolute stroke, a sham, and the Cian Chóir should not have been cooperating with that. We've seen a moment where...
Micheál Martin, though, to be fair, gave you several examples today of other parliaments in other countries where government backbenchers can ask questions.
Well, you'll know as a journalist who covers it all, there are promised legislation questions, there are Taoiseach's questions every day. Taoiseach's questions Tuesday, Wednesday, promised ledge Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and government backbenchers avail of that all the time. So they've always had the opportunity to put a question to the Taoiseach or the Tánaiste. So this is nonsense. This is about creating space for Michael Lowry to back the government wholeheartedly and his colleagues and to pose at leaders' questions. He was determined to get that. Independent legal advice says it shouldn't be done. But the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, the government have just ignored that and ploughed on and bulldozed their way through yesterday.
So how much time then will you be giving Verona Murphy to consider her position?
Well, I mean, obviously the deadline in terms of a motion of no confidence would be towards the end of this week. So we're Wednesday today. Obviously she'd have tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow to consider her position. But we will move a motion of no confidence if she hasn't stepped aside.
We know that the world is in a state of turmoil at the moment. It's likely that this day next week, Donald Trump will introduce a wave of tariffs against European imports and this country will be badly affected. Do you accept that politics, that it can't be mired in this row forever?
Oh, absolutely. And in the opposition, we've tried to do our job week in, week out. We've appealed to the government. The government had agreed, you'll recall, the day after the Taoiseach's vote was delayed. The next day, there was a statement read out in the Dáil by Hildegard Nocton, the outgoing government chief whip, which said they would find a solution acceptable to government and opposition. So the government reneged on that and rammed this through yesterday. And basically, everybody in Ireland's asking the question, what hold does Michael Lowry have over Micheál Martin and his government? Why would they put us in absolute turmoil over Michael Lowry?
Well, as you know, they say there isn't any particular hold there. It was just what that they're doing. They say that that's the fair approach.
Well, as I said, if you're a government backbencher, and that is what Michael Lowry and the other independent TDs are, you have every opportunity to speak, to raise questions with the Taoiseach Tánaiste. If you look at the last Dáil, the Green Party had 12 TDs. Six of them were ministers, six of them were backbenchers. They had ample opportunity to speak, to sit on committees. There was never any question that Michael Lowry and those TDs would have that. But what we could never accept, and the Green Party would never have dreamt of asking for this, was to have leaders' questions and priority questions to pose as government and opposition at the same time. It is unprecedented in the history of the Dáil. It is an outrageous power grab. It is a stroke.
All right. Pádraic McLoughlin, Chief Whip of Sinn Féin, thank you very much for joining us. Let's turn now to Irish Times columnist and former political adviser Gerard Howland, who's with me in studio. What's your assessment of where this rests now?
Well, it's not resting. The issue, I think, has become more less important than the campaign for the opposition. The campaign is bearing fruit for the opposition. The issue, for what it's worth, and I don't think it's very important, but it has changed completely since it began. When the government went into this Dáil to try and elect the Taoiseach and failed, it was on the premise that those deputies, Deputy Michael Lowry and other, would be characterised as opposition deputies, which was a lack of forethought, was extraordinarily careless and failed. What's on the table now is quite different. They're no longer characterised as opposition per se, but as neither government nor opposition. I'm not quite clear myself what that means, by the way. But in terms of their right to ask questions, it is they and all other government backbenchers would have an additional right, separate from all the existing opportunities of the opposition, to ask other members questions. And that is not unusual in other parliaments. And on the face of it, it's not a big deal.
Can Verona Murphy tough it out, or will she have to go?
this, we were here before. And I think, you know, to talk about Verona Murphy and what happened yesterday is to miss the point. Verona Murphy's original sin is not something she did. It is how she came into the world as Ciaran Corla.
And she thanked Michael Lowry on that day in December.
Indeed, but there's a little more to it than that, Rachel, in that in 2016, a fundamental move on was taken to better develop our democracy, that the Ciaran Corla would be elected by the Dáil by secret ballot. And she was elected by the Dáil by a secret ballot, but clearly as part of an overall deal about numbers to put the government in place. And if you like, that diminished the office, apart from her herself at all. And then you have this furore on top of that. So it's like the office of Ciaran Corla is now an unfulfilled promise in terms of its stature and standing. A lot of that is not her fault. In addition, she has been wildly abused, inappropriately, in language and demeanour and tone, in ways that reflect poorly on those who have done it. But that doesn't answer your question, is can she survive? And if she can survive, she, as Ciaran Corla, without the confidence of the opposition, she will be a Ciaran Corla in lockdown.
This will have to be resolved at some point. The question is how?
Yes, well, either she will not resign. The situation in the Dáil will go from bad to worse, at least in the short term. Or she does and matters rebalance a little. But remember what is at stake here. It is not the detail of the issue. Do not be confused about that. It is a historic opportunity by the opposition, handed to them on a plate by the government, to frame this government in the words, terms, and as of this morning, the image that the opposition wished to visit on them.
The rule change was pushed through yesterday. So will the regional independents and indeed government backbenchers, as you were saying, will they now have a slot in which they can ask a question? Has that deal effectively been done?
Well, it's a vote of the House, so it's a rule of the House, I presume. And presumably, of course, it will happen. Now, if you're sharing that opportunity among 60 government backbenchers, you'll have it so seldom, it won't matter a great deal, frankly. And as I say, this is not about the detail at all anymore.
All of this is happening at a very difficult time internationally. I mean, there's so much happening in the world at the moment, and there is such a sense of turmoil and of danger sometimes. This can't go on forever, as Pádraig McLoughlin was saying as well. So where does it all go from here?
Well, this coming weekend is the last weekend before the war. There's a trade war starting next week, if it happens, as promised. Our economic model will be disproportionately affected. The money we get from that model funds the spending, which we have been overly generous to ourselves. And on top of that rests a model of politics, including the parties and seats in Leinster House, which is an unviable model going forward. And there is no sign that any of the parties, either together in government or separately or in opposition, really have any answer to how Ireland will adjust post whatever happens next week and in the months to come. And this furore this week and before, it's Ballymagash for those people old enough to remember. Ballymagash is one of the great satires of the 1970s. It's funny, but it's also outrageous, and it completely fails the country.
All right, Gerard Howland, thank you very much for being with us on the News at One.